Okay, this is Crucial Conversations for Women. My name is Mary Maines. I'm supposed to say that to begin the recording. I want to say I'm sorry that this is how the room is set up, just because I feel like, hello, back there. But we'll make do with what we have. So let's go ahead and start out with a prayer. Good morning, Father. It is just such a privilege and honor to pray to you, to know that you hear us, to know that you love us, to know, Father, that every part of our heart, our minds, our being, God, that you direct, that you guide. You're so gracious, you're so loving, you're so full of mercy, and I just thank you for each woman in this room, just so many women that I met. I'm just overwhelmed with your kingdom and overwhelmed with these women. And I thank you for them. And I pray, God, that you would lead us and help me, Father, to say what you want me to say, to communicate your word in a way that would completely honor you, Father, and bring all the glory to you. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Okay, so welcome. Come in. There are, maybe what we can do is if you have a seat, you can move to the middle. We are a great sisterhood here, so we love sitting close to each other on the front row up here, all over the place. But there's two seats. I'm like the, what do you call the person at the movie theater?
Ushers.
Two there, there's one. Maybe if you have a seat in your row. I just enjoy sitting versus standing for classes, so. This is a little, the microphone is a little far, so if, I'll rearrange the whole class in a minute or two. There's a seat. Okay, well, welcome. You are in Crucial Conversations, which is a class for women on, she said everything was set. So I just want to tell you a little bit about, can you guys hear me in the back?
No.
No? All right. I may have to hold it over here. The irony is I've always been told I'm pretty loud mouth, so. But my name is Mary Maines. I am from the Los Angeles Church of Christ. I serve in Orange County, and I have been there for the last 13 years in the ministry, and have been in the ministry for 33 years. And I don't know about you, but over those 33 years, I've had to have a lot of crucial conversations, and a lot of crucial conversations have been had with me. And so I have needed that. A little bit about myself. February 2nd of 2017, this is the only time I may cry. My world was turned upside down when my husband of 32 years died of a massive heart attack and went to heaven. And never in a million years did I plan or prepare for that. And I know there are people in this room that can relate to that from all different walks of life and situations of life. We don't always prepare for what happens in our life. But I want you to know, I don't think there's any place I would rather be, I know there isn't, than in the kingdom of God. And I've told many of people, our worst day in the kingdom of God is so much better than the world that I would always rather be in God's kingdom. And, you know, conversations that transform will always be a part of our lives and of what we need and need to become. And really, this class is really, I've been a disciple for 40 years. This is sort of a combination of all the things I've tried to learn and am still learning over those past 40 years of being a disciple. The author, you know, there is a book called Crucial Conversations. There is a class that you can even take that is a business-related type course on crucial conversations, which I have taken and gone through. But it says that a crucial conversation is a conversation between two or more people that becomes crucial when opinions differ, stakes are high, and emotions run strong. I mean, that's like every day for a lot of us, isn't it? I mean, that's our life. That's our life with our children, if we have children. That's our life with other family members, our people we work with, our coworkers. We are always put in situations where there are differing opinions. The stakes seem high. Sometimes they seem high even when they really aren't, because our emotions are involved in all of that. And we have to have a conversation. But I think more than anything else, what has to drive these conversations is our love. Our love has to drive the desire to have crucial conversations. You know, in John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, perfect love drives out fear. Because I don't know about you, but a lot of times what stops me from having the conversations that I need to have is fear. And I love that what's going to drive that out, what's going to motivate me, what's going to push me forward in those conversations is love. And I need that. And I have my little cheerleader up here on the front row, my roommate, Angela Williams. So thank you, Angela, for saying that. You know, one of the quotes from the book says, of Crucial Conversations, it says, you don't have to choose between being honest and being effective. We can have honest conversations with our sisters, and I'm going to talk more in the body of Christ, although I don't know about you, I found this works in companies and all walks of life. But we don't have to choose between one or another. You know, I think, as I said before, what keeps us from having these conversations many, many times is fear. We fear how the other person's going to accept what we have to say. We fear that we may even get more hurt or be rejected during that conversation. Honestly, sometimes, I don't know about you, I just go, I don't want the drama. This is going to be a drama mama conversation. I'm just tired of drama in my life, which equals lack of love, okay? At least for me, that's what I have to realize. You know, sometimes there's just a lack of faith. We don't believe that God can use us in this conversation to make a difference in someone's heart and life. And yet, I think right now within the kingdom of God, there is such a need for us to renew our vision for our relationships with one another, to really have a God-centered, a Christ-centered vision for what my relationships can be and how they can impact not only my life in allowing people to have conversations with me, but me having conversations with them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. I have my own little timer, but if you don't push it, you're in trouble. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. I actually think Paul wrote that for women, because I don't know. I just can't see a bunch of brothers singing songs to each other. But I can see us getting together and singing and having a great time together. But you know, it says that we are to teach and admonish one another. We are to help one another. I think sometimes these scriptures have kind of gone by the wayside. You know, I had somebody recently say, hey, I mean, I can't tell her what to do. And I'm not talking about telling somebody what to do. I'm talking about loving someone enough, caring enough to ask questions, to get involved in their life, to know what's going on, and to help and want to guide. You know, admonish means to caution, to advise, to counsel against something. I am so grateful for the women in my life over the years who have done that, who have counseled me, who have cautioned me against things. It saved me a lot of grief and helped me to grow. You know, love makes you search your heart to make sure your motives are right. When you love somebody and you care so much about wanting them to grow spiritually, it's not about getting something off my chest. Well, I'm going to get with her because I got some things to say to her. She has really upset me. She's made me mad. I'm going to get with her and let her know. I have a friend that, you know, I'm just kidding. I can be that way. But it's about loving the person enough to want to have that kind of conversation. And this is just a little side note over to the side. It would be like a little bubble up here. Don't do this over text. Okay? I had to counsel two women who they had never met each other and had, I would call it a fight. We used to call it bumps. Let's just call it. It was a fight. But over text. And I think we can't have a crucial conversation over text is, where do I meet you? What time should we get together? I think you're amazing. I love you. But it's not past that, okay? And we have to know that and learn that because love means I want to sit with you. I want to understand what you are going through. I think when we have these conversations, we've got to have the heart, I want this to be a safe place. I want this to be a place where we can talk and we can share and I can tell her how much I love her. You know, I love the scripture that says love covers over a multitude of sin. And there's something about someone starting out with just, I just love you. I've been praying for you. My heart hurts for you. I want to understand what you're feeling or thinking. I don't understand, but I want to help me in this situation. You know, I think love drives you to look at situations through the other person's eyes, to try to understand what they are going through, to try to understand what it would be like if I lived in this situation, if this was my life. And I think sometimes because our emotions are involved in that, we can only see things kind of naturally through our own perspective. And, you know, I love how what God says to us is, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I've been a Christian 40 years. It was 40 years in July. And I've realized I still am so far from seeing things through God's eyes. And yet I have to learn to see my sisters through God's eyes. I may not know all that they've been through, but I can want to understand and to help them. I can want to be that safe place. You know, I think sometimes these conversations are hard when we've been disappointed, when somebody has disappointed us, when we thought she was my friend, but she's not really acting right now like a friend. And it's hard for us to want to put ourselves out there. It's hard to want to be vulnerable. It's hard to want to say, I still need you, even though you won't call me back or you don't seem to have time. I still love you. And I think sometimes those are the kind of conversations that we don't want to have with people. We don't want to go there. I think we have to learn to leave room for God. You know, God is pretty amazing. I don't know about you, but the more I understand just a tiny part of who God is, I realize that He's working every day. He knows exactly what each of us need. What's going to help that person? What's going to help me? You know, He has a way of just constantly weaving and working. And I think sometimes we don't leave room for Him. He's the one that changes hearts. I'm not the one that can change a heart. This is not about me having a conversation and somebody changing. This is about bringing glory to God. This is about pointing others to God. And I'll talk more about that. You know, sometimes love means that we have to wait till the person is at a point to hear it. You know, I've said to people, you know, I have some things on my heart. Is this a good time? And I think if we're going to ask that question, we have to be okay with the response. Because I think sometimes we ask it, but we ask it assuming that this is going to be a good time. And I have to tell you, in this past year and a half and all I've gone through, there are times where I've said, it's not a good time. And honestly, it may not be a good time for a little while, but I promise you at some point, I'll get back to you. And I think when you really love a person, you're okay with that response. Because if they can't hear it, then why say it? And again, it becomes more about helping them than getting something off your own heart. And I think at the end of the day, as humans, we have so much curiosity that kind of wins the day. Like I've a couple days, just tell me. I don't want to keep going on without knowing what you're thinking. So I think we got to trust that people will come around to those things. But I think if we don't have love, we really are just a resounding gong. We aren't going to impact. We aren't going to help. We aren't going to bring our sisters closer to God. And we're here because we lead in some part of our church. We want to help our sisters grow spiritually. And we've got to have that heart. Okay, number two, and this is kind of my exciting point, because this is where I feel like God has taught me so much. Not that love isn't very important, but the Holy Spirit drives this process. It's got to be God's Spirit. It's not about me. It's not about what I think. And what I love about God's Spirit is He is strong. He is opinionated. He's very opinionated, God's Spirit. And He desperately wants to guide every word from your mouth. He so wants that. And you know why? Because He knows exactly what that person needs. You know, we've got to have a heart that is way more in tune to God's Spirit than at times I think we are. And to have that kind of heart to let Him guide these talks, these conversations. You know, we also got to believe in this, that God's going to lead us so that our mistake, another quote from the book says, the mistake that most of us make in crucial conversations is we believe that we have to choose between telling the truth and keeping a friend. And that's just, again, it's where Satan, so funny, so much of it is biblical, they just don't have the scriptures in there. But you know, that's God's Spirit. He's going to help us so that we can tell the truth and be an incredible friend. You know, I've had this little group of friends for many years, and I'm the only one that's in the ministry, but they have helped me so much because I believe it doesn't matter where you're at in life. But we did our little mini girls retreat together, and we're all at least in our 50s or 60s. And we've all been disciples since campus ministry days, so long time. But one of the things, we had a little time, a devotional together, and one of the vows we made to each other, that we would be there for each other in thick or thin, and that we would always tell each other the truth. And I remember we all went around to agree to that. We're going to tell each other the truth. And I can think of this past year and a half, right after Kevin went to heaven, they came down to get with me and were sitting at a picnic table, and they said, "You need help." I didn't disagree. I needed help. And they said, "We are going to drive down to Orange County," none of them live in Orange County, "every week and get with you and help you." And I remember my response was, "Okay, sounds great." I didn't say, "No, really, you don't have to." I'm like, "Sure, when are we getting together?" And but I think through that, they've listened. They've listened to me cry. They've listened. But they've also told me the truth, things I've needed to hear. They've helped me out of that kind of some of the challenges. And I think we've got to figure out how to do that. Some, it's hard. There are people that we naturally get along with. But when I look at this group of women, it's only God that brought us together. We're not the same at all. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes up that difference. Isaiah 50, verse 4. One of my favorite, I'm going to let you get there if you have a phone or Bible or whatever, because it's such a great scripture. How's everybody in the back? Can you hear me? Okay, thank you. It's like way back. Isaiah 50, verse 4, it says, "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue." Who gives us what to say? The sovereign Lord, God. It says, "To know the word that sustains the weary." I don't know about you, but I think a lot of us, including myself, we have a lot of times in our life where we're weary. We're weary of being Christians. We're weary of the challenges of life. And it says, "He wakens me." God wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. Who's going to give you the words? Who's going to give you the insight? Who's going to give you the love? Who's going to give you the ability to look beyond yourself to see what someone else is facing and to try on some tiny little level to understand, even though we can't, really? It is God. And in Psalm 32, verse 8, he says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." I don't know about you, I just love that. I love that God, it's like a mother when she has a young child, and she may be talking, she may be doing, but she knows exactly where that baby's at and what's going on there. And it's just like that's how God is. You know, he's working around the world, he's trying to help people here. I just love that there are sisters from all over the world, but he has his loving eye on me. On you. You know, we always say, "God is just sweet on me. I just feel like God honestly loves me more than anyone else." And I hope you feel that way too. Like, I'm just kind of like his favorite. Okay? Like, yes, he loves everybody, but he and I. And I think that's how God feels about each of us and wants us to feel about him. You know, it's really the Spirit that has to prompt you and guide you. I love that the Spirit is our counselor. He counsels us. Of course, he uses God's word, and there's times where he uses brothers and sisters to help us as well, even brothers. But the Holy Spirit ultimately is the one that does that. And it's really interesting if you look at the story, we're not going to read it for time's sake, but in Acts 8, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, if you read that story, it basically just says the Spirit told Philip to go down to this desert road. He didn't have any idea why he was going down, but what I love about Philip is he just said, "Okay." And so, you know, he's walking, going, "Okay, Lord, what's the deal here?" But I think many, many times in my life, I have realized the Spirit has prompted me, but I haven't obeyed, or I haven't really allowed myself to listen. And yet, I think we've got to have the heart that's really willing to listen. I have this little park right down at the end of my street, and I call it my little Garden of Gethsemane. I just love, if you went there, you'd be like, really? This is what you love? But I think because it's close, it's easy for me to go there. But I feel so close to God there. It's just my place where I go and I talk and I share all my thoughts and sin and everything. And I feel so loved and taken care of by God during those times. And one morning I was out early. It's so funny. You see the same people. And I hadn't been there for a few days. And this woman that we just say hello, she goes, where have you been? I almost felt like, God, did you have her? Like, why haven't you been out here walking and praying? And I immediately felt like, sorry, I'll get back out here. But I just start praying. And I'm praying, and this sister just keeps coming to my mind. And so I kind of shove her aside. I got a lot on my own heart. I got a lot to deal with. And I keep walking, but it just, her, she just keeps coming back in my mind. Finally, I said, okay, I got to be able to pray about other things. So I sent her a quick text and just said, hey, do you have any time to get together this week? I'd love to get with you. And her response back was, no, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. So honestly, I was like, tried, Lord, she's too busy. Let's move on. And so I keep praying. And honestly, it was such a strong urging. I'm just like, so I send her another text and I go, this may sound weird, but I'm out praying. You are so much on my heart. I can't seem to pray about anything else except you. And I have to believe this is the Spirit. And it was funny. She goes, okay, we can get together today at 5. And I go, tell me where and I'll be there. And I remember I showed up and I sat down and she said, okay, I have been involved in all kinds of impurity. That, literally, I didn't even ask a question. And it was sort of like, that was the Holy Spirit. And we ended up having a great talk, and she's a wonderful sister, but I was just like, wow. God prompts us. And even when we do a little, because I did a little, I felt great about myself that I sent her the text, but God made it come to completion. You know, because of this, I feel like my entire prayer life, I've been a disciple for 40 years, it's completely changed. And I think one of the prayer walks I had with God, I was praying and I said, I'm not at the top of my game. You know, here of all of us here today, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you feel like I'm soaring. I am so strong spiritually. Amen. That's awesome. Some of you may say, I need help. I'm not at the top of my game. And I have felt not at the top of my game for the last year and a half, probably more than ever in my Christian life. And so I was talking to God one day out on my prayer walk, and I'm like, I'm not at the top of my game, but I do want to help these sisters in my life and in the church here. And I don't know how it came to me, except the Holy Spirit. I thought, there's only one thing that I can think of, and if somebody finds something, I haven't really researched it, but no one has come up to me yet and said anything, that you can ask for from God, but there's no requirements. And you know what that is? Wisdom. Because he says in James 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, Holy Spirit, who gives generously to all, get this, without finding fault. Like, You don't have to be at the top of your game. You don't have to be spiritually strong. You don't have to have everything together. But God said, I'll give you wisdom. I thought, ding, 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 that's going to be my prayer because I don't feel like I'm at the top of my game. And so I started just saying, instead of, God, help this sister to want to study the Bible or to change this, I just started praying, give me the wisdom to know how you are moving and working in her life so I know what to say. I don't know what you're doing. I know you're working behind the scenes, but I need wisdom to know how you're working. What should I say? How should I say it? What are you trying to do? You know, wisdom to know, how do I think about this situation? How should I feel? I feel like the older I get, I turn 59 in October, my greatest challenge as a Christian at times is processing things. Like, how should I think about this? How should I feel about this, God? What's your perspective on this? And it's amazing the wisdom. I just love it because I just feel like God just keeps putting things on my heart and showering me at times. And there's no way I could take the credit for it. It's just like he'd strike me dead if I tried to, because it's so obvious that it's from God, that he is going to guide you in these conversations out of his love, out of his wisdom. You know, I've been getting with this woman for probably 6 months, and she is not a part of the church, and she is going through a terrible divorce, and just horrible. And so a lot of the times when we're together, she's just got so much on her heart and no one to talk to. And so we get together, usually at a Starbucks, and she'll just start sharing. And so a couple weeks ago, we're in the Starbucks, and honestly, she probably talked for 45 straight minutes of just all the horrible things. And in my heart, I said, and this is to my shame, I can't take this anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. And that's not good, but that's what went through my mind. And she finished, and I said to her, I said, I'm so sorry, because I am, of what you're going through. I said, but I'm not an attorney, so I don't have any legal advice to give you. I can't help you there. I said, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a counselor, so I can't help you on that level. I said, all I can be is a friend who points you to God. That's it. That's all I got. And she looked at me and she said, you're not giving up on me, are you? And I go, no, of course not. I do believe with all my heart, God had her say that so that I didn't. And I mean, it was just like this spiritual forces, because I just, when it came out of my mouth, I was like, okay, I'm so convicted of how quickly, you know, I want to just give up. And I said, do you want to be pointed to God? And she said, yes, I did. I do. And I said, then can I say some things to you that I think are very challenging for you to hear right now? And she said, yes. And I said, you're digressing. You're not moving forward right now. Your heart is so full of bitterness. And I can't understand what you're going through. I just know that God is the answer. He's got to be, because there's no way to fix all of this. And her response was, I'm not bitter. Okay. So I said, you know, honestly, that's what she said. And I said, then just pray about it. I said, because I'm just one person trying to help you see God in this. And we got together this past week, and I said, let's not meet at the coffee shop. Let's meet at a park, kind of in between where we both live, and let's just pray. Because I'm like, at the end of the day, I don't know how else to help you, but But I know that God can, and I know that prayer is the answer. And her first words out of her mouth were, "I am bitter, and I want to change." And so you just see where God is the one that takes that. God is the one that changes hearts. We can't do it. So don't put that on yourself, that somehow you're going to be the Savior. You're not. The great thing about it is we have a wonderful Savior. He's the one that's going to do it. And I think lastly, vision is what drives these conversations to completion. It's you keeping a vision for what God can do in our sisters' lives, what God can do in your life. He's given us all these tools. We have to sometimes figure them out. And of course, you know, the Word of God is so incredibly powerful. But we've got to have a vision for what we want to see our sisters become. You know, the sisters in my ministry, sometimes I'll just pray and I'll just think, this is what she could do. This is what she could become. She's not there yet, or she doesn't even see it herself. But I want to be the person who believes that she can become that. People did that for me. I was a real stinker for many years, and I'm just so grateful that somebody looked beyond that and loved me. And I think that's what we've got to do. We've got to, you know, my vision is this fellowship of churches and of each other where, you know, we're involved in each other's lives. We're helping each other. We're just in all of what God is doing and how he's using each other and he's using his Holy Spirit. And it's just like, whoa, we're blown away with what God is doing. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul kind of gives his little vision here. And he says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. You know, that's what I want. I don't know about you, but we live in a very dark world. And it's becoming darker. I don't know. I mean, didn't your grandmother say that? So I don't know if it's my age that's making me say that, you know? Oh, this world's getting more evil, but it seems that way. Maybe that is or isn't. But I want to shine like a star. You know, I don't want to just survive in my Christianity. I want to thrive. I want to be someone that can make a difference. It's going to be God. It's not about me, but it's about being used by God, shining like a star. You know, can you imagine when God looks out over the kingdom? We're his stars. We're like the thing that encourages him. I think many times how every evil, every darkness in this world, God is aware of. I'm not aware. We're more aware because of the internet, but we're not aware. I mean, there's still things that I hear that shock me that never in a million years would have thought of that, but God knows it. And yet I can be this bright, shining star. And I think we can help each other shine brighter. We can have the kind of conversations that point each other to God. We can have the kind of conversations that are filled with love and mercy and grace and truth with one another. We can have the kind of impact on the city that you live in that has never been seen before, because we can do greater things than Jesus did. That's pretty amazing. But we got to have the kind of heart. You know, Albert Einstein said, "It's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer." And I think I love that, because that's how I feel. Yeah. It's not that I'm so smart, but if I stay with God, if I stay with my sisters, even when I'm tempted to want to give up, God can do amazing things. Amen. That's it. we have 5 minutes. I don't know if anybody would like to make a comment. It doesn't have to be, oh, that was so awesome. More like if something, you have an insight that could help someone else in the room, or because we got about 5 minutes, why not use it?